When I was much younger, I had a great aunt that was a real character. She was a fun lady. She was my grandmother's sister. And I remember one time being in Kansas City. I was with one of her kids. And she taught my brother and my sister and I a card game called Crazy Eights. And it was a real fun card game, and it was pretty easy to learn how to play, I guess. But essentially, the object of the game was to be the first one to get rid of all your cards. But if you were to get stuck with cards, it was important during the game to know which cards to discard, which cards to get rid of. Because that would make a big difference on when the whole game was over, how well you had done. Knowing what to get rid of. That's the title of this morning's lesson. Knowing what to get rid of. In our life, it's essential, not just important, but it's essential to know as we are running this race what we need to discard, what we need to get rid of as we are running this race. As I mentioned, our text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar passage. But I think there will be some things brought out this morning that will cause you to think about, are there some things I need to get rid of? And you'll probably say, yes, there are. Hebrews chapter 12, just the first two verses will serve as our text. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He mentions some ideas, especially in verse 1, that we need to pay attention to. First of all, the word ensnares. Some versions may have entraps. The idea is something that clings to us tightly. When you're running a race, you don't want anything clinging to you tightly. Why? Because it's going to slow you down. So some translations have that phrase, clings to us. Like having something wrapped around you. And what's it going to do? It's going to slow you down. Last night we had a three-legged race, and we had something wrapped around the one leg of each person. And what does it do? Well, it slows you down, right? It's clinging to you. It's tying you together so you can't run. Now, this race is a race to heaven. Notice that's what this race is. It's a race to heaven. That's the finish line. That's the goal, is heaven. So you're racing to heaven. So he says, we have to get rid of anything that easily ensnares us, clings to us, slows us down, hinders our progress. And what are we supposed to do with it? The New King James says, lay aside. It's probably a more powerful word than that. Throw it off. Get rid of it, and get rid of it quickly. Why? Because it's a weight, it's a burden, it's an encumbrance. It's a distraction. Who wants to try and run a race carrying a ball and chain? Well, no one does. And since the author of Hebrews knew people, knew about races, then he used that as an example. Because everybody knows that if you're going to finish that race, if you're going to run that race, what's going to happen? You're going to have to get rid of all those things that are weighing you down, that are tying you down to earth. Because this is a race to heaven. So anything that's tying you to earth, that's holding you to this earth, needs to be cast off, cut off, tied off, thrown away. We have to strip off everything that slows us down. And he says, this is the sin which so easily ensnares us, wraps around us, Sin can do that, right? Wrap around us, trip us up. Of course, that's what Satan wants us to do, right? He wants us to fall, wants us to get, you know, slow down, wants us to run this race where we have so many weights and so many burdens and so many things clinging to us that we can't run it with endurance. In other words, we'll stop and we won't make it. That's what Satan wants. He doesn't care how fast we run or how slow we run, just as long as we don't finish. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to finish. So he wants us to have as many weights and burdens, distractions on us, clinging to us, tied to us, so that we can't run it with endurance. That's his whole goal for everybody's life, is so they won't finish the race to heaven. But what are those things? You know, it's one thing to know, yeah, I need to get rid of all those weights and burdens, so forth. You know, the Bible isn't relevant unless we actually use it. Unless we actually take something concrete and put it into our lives. Next, I want to look at some of those things that people have had in the Bible that were a weight, that were a burden, that were clinging to them, that was slowing them down, things they needed to get rid of. And we're going to look at the Old Testament and look at the New, at some of those things. The first one I'm going to look at is in the life of Moses, Exodus chapter 3. He had some weights and burdens that was keeping him down, keeping him from doing God's work. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 10. This is when basically Moses is called by God to be the leader of his people and to carry out this work for them. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. God says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He's saying, "I'm nothing. Why pick me? I don't have any qualities or qualifications." God said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." That was his first excuse. Why pick me? Okay, don't look at me. I'm not the person for the job. See, that was a weight that was holding him down. It was trying to trip him up, trying to keep him from doing God's work. But that wasn't the only thing he said. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses still hasn't accepted what God wants him to do. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Now he says, you know, they're not going to listen to me. They're going to say, "Well, God hasn't appeared to you, because I don't have anything to back me up. What am I going to do?" Well, see, that was holding him back. Fear, insecurity, doubt, those things were holding him back from doing what God wanted him to do. Well, the story's not over. Skip down to verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." He says, "You want to be a spokesman? You want me to be a spokesman to the people? Have you heard me talk?" That's what he's saying. "Have you heard me talk? I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I don't know what to say. And when I say it, it's not the right thing. Why are you picking me?" So God comes back. "Who's made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Can't you tell in God's tone he's getting a little ticked off? He's a little bit angry at Moses. Moses keeps coming back and saying, you keep telling me I'm supposed to do this work, but I am not the person. I'm not this, I'm not that. You should have chosen someone else. Don't look at me. I can't talk right. I don't say the right thing. Well, he goes on, verse 13. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Now he just says, go pick somebody else. Not me. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and and you shall be to him as God. And notice, God is speaking directly to Moses. This is not secondhand information. God is directly speaking to Moses and telling him these things. He says, I want you to be the leader. I want you to be the spokesman. I want you to be my go-between. And Moses keeps coming back and saying this and that, and I can't do this, and you've chosen the wrong person, as if God would choose the wrong person. God couldn't possibly choose the wrong person. Moses kept allowing these weights and these burdens to slow him down. His fear, his doubt, his insecurity was ensnaring him. They were ensnaring him. They were clinging to him. They were wrapping around him so they couldn't run the race. Those things can do the same to us. Fear and doubt and insecurity have kept a lot of people from talking to their neighbor, talking to their family, inviting their coworkers to a Bible study. Those things have kept countless Christians from doing what God has specifically asked us to do. So while that was an Old Testament example, it's just as relevant today. We can't let fear and doubt and insecurity keep us from running that race and doing what we know God wants us to do. There's a lot of other things. Pride. Robert Moss mentioned in one of his sermons, I don't remember which one, about Naaman the leper, and that was his problem. What was the weight? What was the burden that Naaman was carrying that kept him from doing what God wanted him to do? Pride. He was supposed to go wash in the Jordan River. Now, wait a second. You were supposed to come up with something big, fancy, and big production. And all you want me to do is go dip in an old dirty river? I don't think so. He was expecting something grand. And that was keeping him from being cured of leprosy. How silly. Pride. Pride still works on Christians today. Still works on God's people. Keeping them weighted down. They're too proud to do this. They're too proud to do that. And it's ensnaring them. It holds them back from doing what they should do. Worldliness. Let's go to Luke chapter 18 for just a moment. We'll go to the New Testament, look at a couple examples. Luke chapter 18. You will remember this account vividly, I'm sure. Luke 18, verse 18. This is the account of the rich young ruler. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And, of course, Jesus comes back and says, you're to keep these commandments and so forth. Verse 21, and the ruler said, well, these things I've kept from my youth. Well, Jesus said, you still lack one thing. See, there was one thing holding him down. There was one thing that was clinging to him. There was one thing he still had that was a weight to him, that was a burden, that was a distraction, that was keeping him from doing God's will. There was one thing, and that was his riches. And since Jesus could look into his heart and knew that was a weight and a burden, it's not a weight and a burden to everybody, but it was to this guy, because he was allowing it to be. So Jesus says, this is what I know you need to do. You need to get rid of your riches because they're slowing you down. They're keeping you tied to earth so that you can't race to heaven. So he says, you need to go sell all that you have and give to the poor. But the rich young ruler couldn't do it. He couldn't untie that. He couldn't cut that string off from his riches. He was too attached to them. And he couldn't do it. So he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. So our money, possessions, worldliness in general can keep us from running the race. And certainly in our society, that's had a great effect on the church, is worldliness. Being too concerned about those possessions and allowing them. They don't have to be a weight and a burden unless we allow them to be a weight and a burden. And they are for many people. Some would just rather make excuses and talk about how they can't do anything for the Lord, how they can't serve. They would just as soon make excuses, believing those excuses let them off the hook. So they don't have to do anything. It's not a new problem. A few pages back from where you are, Luke chapter 14, there was a bunch of people that did the same thing. Luke 14, verse 16. Jesus says, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground, I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" Instead of doing what they knew they needed to do, which of course was attend this great banquet, this great feast, they started making excuses. And they were all excuses. None of those things were valid reasons for not coming. They had been invited a long time before that. When you gave a feast or a banquet in the first century, you sent out 2 invitations. Kind of like we do today. Like we might tell somebody, we're having such and such, 2 months, so they can kind of put it on their calendar. And then right before it happens, you send out another invitation. Well, that's what took place in the first century as well. So these people knew about this long before. But they allowed those excuses to weigh them down, to keep them from attending that feast. They should have been discarding those things, not letting them be a weight or a burden. Are there other things? There are so many that can weigh us down, can burden us, can ensnare us, can cling to us, can cause us to trip up, cause us to not finish the race. Maybe you need to get rid of laziness. You know, laziness is just as much an excuse or just as much a weight as anything else. Just being lazy. You know, the Bible warns us in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 to not be slothful, to not be lazy. Some of us just simply have a bad habit that we will not get rid of. Some habit that maybe we've had for years and years and years, and that bad habit is keeping us from doing God's will. Keeping us from running the race. It's clinging to us. It's slowing us down. It might be a habit that's hurting our health so that we're not as healthy as we need to be to do God's work. Well, that would be a sin that's ensnaring us. That would be a weight or a burden that's holding us down. That would be a rope that's tying us to this earth. We're putting the bad habit in front of running the race to heaven. And there's so many different bad habits that could fit there. But anything like that, that's slowing us down, that's weighing us down, that's causing us to trip up, would fit there. Maybe it's just simply you're just comfortable the way you are. You don't want to put forth the effort to run that race. You're just comfortable the way you are. You don't want to do anything else. Comfort can actually be a weight. Comfort can actually be a burden. We get to a point where we're comfortable and we don't want to do anything else. You know, that's not comfortable for me to do. But maybe it's that very thing that's keeping you from doing God's will. If it is, then that's a burden. It's a weight now. And it's wrapping around you. It's clinging to you. It's ensnaring you. It's entrapping you. So you need to get rid of it. You need to throw it off, whatever that might be. And maybe it's just simply something you've done in the past that's some past mistake that you just don't think you can ever get over. That can ensnare people. That can weigh you down to the point where you can't run the race. Think if that would have been how King David felt. King David had Uriah the Hittite killed. He was directly responsible for him, had him killed. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. No doubt about that. He was guilty. Now, those things cost him. There were consequences to that. Remember, the infant that was born died. But David didn't really mourn for that. Because remember, he said, you know, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. So David could have completely stopped at that point and given up and allowed those past mistakes, and they were mistakes, they were serious mistakes. He could have allowed those to simply stop his whole life, and he wouldn't have done anything else for God. But he knew there was salvation. He knew there was forgiveness. He knew he could go on if God forgave him. And remember, of course, that's exactly what happened, and David went on and did great things for God. Not that those things didn't cost him, but he was still able to get past those mistakes, those sins in the past. You can do it. So instead of allowing those things to weigh him down, to cling to entrap him, to cause him to trip up, to cause him to not endure, once he knew he had God's forgiveness, he went on and did great things, and so can you. So regardless of what those weights and burdens are, you can toss them aside. You can throw them off. You can get rid of them. It doesn't make any difference how serious they are or what they are or how many there are. They can all be cast aside. They can all be discarded. Whatever it is that's slowing you down, tying you to this earth, can be gotten rid of and must be gotten rid of if you're going to run that race. And that's an extremely valuable lesson. It's something that you and I can take with us as we leave. It's something that you and I can decide today, I have this weight, this burden, and it is slowing me down. It's keeping me from doing what God wants me to do. And with God's help, I can get rid of it. I can cast it off. I can discard it. Because I have a race to run to heaven, and I don't want anything to slow me down. I don't want anything to keep me from enduring, because I keep looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So whatever it is, you can cast it off. Doesn't mean it won't be painful. Doesn't mean there won't be cost. Doesn't mean there won't be sacrifice. But it's doable. It is something you can cast off regardless of how heavy it is, regardless of how tightly it has you wrapped in its coils. It can be wrapped, tossed off, thrown aside, gotten rid of. And the central point of all of that, the central idea is repentance. Because in repentance, you make an inward change that you're going to get rid of all those things that's holding you back. For someone who is outside the body of Christ, that repentance, of course, is based in the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it leads you to have your sins washed away in baptism. And then for the Christian, that Christian is to continue to work to cast off those weights and those burdens so they can run with endurance the race that is set before them. Casting off sin means repenting and asking for forgiveness. If there's a need this morning, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this next song.